And welcome back to Central Standard. I'm Jabalani LaFall. It's a phenomenon very prevalent in urban America. A major street, boulevard, avenue, or thoroughfare turns over time from a place of promise to an area of blight. From Stryver's Row to a hustler's strip. Or, in the case of Kansas City, from prospect to suspect. Joining us now is local writer and historian Joe Louise Maddox, whose recent talk at the Bluford branch of the Kansas City Library was titled When Prospect Avenue Was Main Street. We'll be talking about the evolution and ultimate deterioration of Prospect Avenue in Kansas City, as well as recent efforts to redevelop the area. Mr. Maddox, welcome to the show. What was Prospect like in its heyday?
Well, Prospect was close to, a time and place similar to 18th and Vine. Now, when we talk about the evolution and the history of 18th and Vine and Prospect, we have to go back to maybe the 40s. And from the 40s up to 1954, I would say that everybody knows 18th and Vine, 12th and Vine was a spot in the Midwest for African-Americans to go and many other people to come because his reputation for jazz, good fun, good times, a barbecue, all those type of things. But 1954 brought about the opportunity for African-Americans to sort of leave the confinements of 29th Street to 27th Street and maybe Truce to Benton and go other places. And the place that they were migrating to was Prospect. So you had businesses and clubs and all those type of things, including some churches, that moved from the 18th and Vine area on to Prospect, starting at 9th and Prospect, going all the way down to, in its heyday, almost 55th Street.
Do you know the reasons that African-Americans and businesses and families migrated from the 18th and Vine District to the Prospect area? Have you found in your research maybe some of the causes or the impetus for this exodus to that area slightly east of the historic Vine District?
Well, we go back to the time when a number of businesses and places in that whole neighborhood had been there for a long time. As far as the maintenance was concerned, upkeep of the property, it wasn't what we would say very stable and good. So there was an opportunity for businesses and some residents in the neighborhood to sort of just relocate their businesses to white-owned former businesses up on Prospect. The businesses up on the buildings, I would say, the structures were better than they were in the 18th and Vine District after so many years.
Talk about the mix of businesses and establishments that were on Prospect Avenue in its heyday. What types of businesses and locations did you have on that thoroughfare?
Well, starting, I really know, at 18th and Prospect, you had clubs, but also you had on Prospect Booker T. Washington School, and you had, as many people have told me, about 100 African-American businesses maybe from 9th Street on down to 55th Street, St. Joseph's Hospital, which was white, but it served the African-American and other communities totally. At one time, you had at 31st and Prospect, it was almost a red light district. I mean, you had clubs, almost on every, on that whole block and that whole area. Many people can talk about the Lisa's, Log Cabin, Little Caesars, everything there, liquor stores, barbecue, so forth and so on. One of the interesting things that I sort of discovered in the research, which I didn't know, was that I would say some of the most influential figures coming from that area that we sort of look upon now would be Leon Jordan and Lucille Bluford. Now, most recently, they discovered maybe the killer or the assassin of Leon Jordan and why it was done. But we know about the Green Duck. At one time, the Green Duck was a place where politicians who wanted the black vote had to come and almost pay homage to Leon Jordan. I mean, you had to come in the door and sit in, you know, in his restaurant and say, I want the African-American vote, which you could deliver.
There was also another establishment that you mentioned in your research, a restaurant called Mooney's. Talk about that.
Well, at that time, Mooney's was one of the finer restaurants for African-Americans in the area. A very nice place, appointed downstairs. It was a law and order place. I mean, you know, I mean, you almost had to dress like you sometime going out on the plaza. They had a banquet room upstairs. And this is where people came in early in the morning. The politicians came in and they had coffee and breakfast. So, I mean, if you wanted to meet your city council person, especially from the representative black community, this was where you go because they would be there in the mornings almost every day.
So that's why they called it the Black City Hall.
They called it Black City Hall.
It was a place where city leaders or black city leaders or blacks in positions of power in the city could come and essentially talk shop.
That's exactly.
When did Prospect Avenue begin to decline?
Well, I would say now that the glory days would be from about 1955. And we're talking about Brown versus Board of Education. So you see 18th and Vine started sort of going into decline. And now you have Brown versus the board, and you got sort of an integration and more acceptance of the African-American community. So from about 1955, in my opinion, until 1965, Prospect was number one. I mean, it was just everything. I mean, you know, you could, the hotel, the movie theaters, black businesses, so forth and so on. Now, again, we have 1968. I think we had the riots and we went into decline. And also, I would say one of the reasons why we may have lost the white community in that area is that we had St. Joseph Hospital. I talked to some people, and I know my mother died at St. Joseph Hospital. Talked to a man the other day, and he said, I was born in St. Joseph Hospital. But they offered the African-American community the opportunity to expand, and it was rejected. And so they moved, and the whole idea was that we would have the Linwood Shopping Center. But after the riots, there was a period where almost nothing happened, and it went into decline.
Mr. Maddox, you find this to be a reoccurring theme in Black America. Was the reason for Prospect Avenue's decline based on partly, at least, desegregation and the public accommodation civil rights aims that civil rights workers were going for, the sort of unintended consequences of desegregation? You mentioned Brown versus Board sort of coinciding with the beginning of Prospect Avenue's decline. Was deseg and public accommodation sort of reasons?
Exactly. I would say now, again, from 55 to 65, again, you got the glory days. Then you got 68, you got the bombing and other riots, and nothing except that they made a movie there. I think it was the last day it was about the dropping of the atomic bomb and what was left of Kansas City. It was nothing but a big pile of rubbish there. So, of course, that was an era of despair. However, then when we had the public accommodations ordinance passed and open housing laws came into effect, that was a instrument of the government or of the community that said African Americans could move any place that they wanted to. So actually, you had people jumping from 31st and Prospect almost to 75th and Prospect. And of course, there were many people who could afford to move to the suburbs, and they did that. So yes, desegregation and open housing and public accommodations would, in my opinion, was one of the reasons, or several of the reasons, why you had to decline in Prospect.
So you're identifying three major watershed moments: the Brown versus Board, which desegregated education, which created desegregated opportunities, and then public accommodations, which came about a decade later in the mid-60s, which allowed blacks to move wherever they wanted. And then the King riots that occurred after Dr. King's assassination in 68, which was that the final sort of death knell?
That was it. That was it. It didn't. Now, we do have to thank the efforts of people to revitalize it with the shopping center. But I think as far as the number of people in the area that could support it with economic money and development, they had put their eye on going to Lee Summit, Blue Springs, wherever. And we just, you know, this happened all over the country, that we have a number of people in the African-American community feel that suburban living is much better when it comes to, you know, raising kids and so forth and so on.
You're listening to Central Standard on 89.3 FM KCUR, streaming live on KCUR.org. Our guest is local writer and historian Joe-Louise Maddox. His recent talk at the Bluford branch of the Kansas City Public Library was titled "When Prospect Avenue Was Main Street." We're talking about the evolution, ultimate deterioration of Prospect Avenue in Kansas City, as well as the recent efforts to redevelop that thoroughfare here on the east side of Kansas City. Speaking of which, what's being done or bandied about or talked about to revitalize the area, which went from being Prospect Avenue to being nicknamed Suspect Avenue? Right?
Okay.
So talk about the redevelopment efforts.
Well, I think one of the people that we have to real give, you know, efforts after somewhat the decline would be Reverend Abel, who is deceased now. He had an idea, in my opinion, that Prospect could be brought back. And we have the Prospect, the Senior Citizens Activity Center. We have several apartment buildings, and they just finished a assisted living development, which is one of those efforts to revitalize it. Bus service is good. I understand that there may be another store maybe opening at 39th and Prospect. There are some efforts, you know, abound, but I'm not sure that, you know, how long it's going to take. But, you know, the whole idea of Prospect at one time was that shopping center. And, it, you know, we were so proud to have, when we had conventions coming into town, everybody was so proud to take them to the Linwood shopping center. So will we ever get that back? I don't know. I think many agencies and institutions in the community are doing all they can. The police station and lab is going to be one thing. Reverend Miles in that neighborhood, Pastor Morningstar Baptist Church, is doing what he can. And also we have the public library, which is one of the most used libraries, what I understand, in the library system. It's there. So, you know, I think there's opportunity, but it may take a while.
What are the main challenges to revitalization, looking at the new demographic patterns and, of course, the big white elephant in the room, the crime along that thoroughfare? What are some of the bigger challenges in revitalizing this area?
Well, I would say, and again, you know, I'm thinking about my generation, we talk different. And I would say that if we could get young people back to move into the neighborhood and say we're going to have some standards that we're going to accept, and we're not going to let anybody trample on our ideas and our values. When it comes to appearance of people, I think many people are afraid of the neighborhood because of the way our young men, I would say, you know, probably 12 to 24, the way they dress, the way they look, people sometimes are just afraid of them. Now, until we can get some people to say we've got to change that culture of what we think about our neighborhood, that would be one of the challenges. I do think that there are some young entrepreneurs who can say, well, I'd like to come back to the neighborhood and do something. But again, whether you have I think one of the reasons why maybe the shopping center or the store, the grocery store in the shopping center didn't succeed, high crime rate, theft. And, I mean, how long can anybody operate a business with people just, you know, every opportunity trying to steal? So, again, if they put one of the best supermarkets in the area there, you know, the people have got to demand that you don't go in and steal or damage what you are proud of.
Or safety when you're coming out.
That's true.
Backing up from the redevelopment efforts for a moment here, talk about your research process in looking at the history of Prospect Avenue and mixing anecdotal evidence or oral history with documentation. What was that like?
Well, the process, you know, always starts sometime with maybe a headline in the newspaper. I mean, you know, as we say, it's not prospect anymore. It's, you know, street of suspect, so forth and so on. It's in the zip code, I think, maybe, I'm not sure, 130, which is so forth and so on. High crime, and you just keep seeing the bad things about prospect. But if you're over 50 years old or 60 years old, you remember the days that I'm talking about. So you start saying, well, let's take a look back and see what news articles said about Prospect, what the Call, the Globe, and all the newspapers said about Prospect. And then you start, you know, getting in conversations, like at the history table at the Pillar Science Center, about how great it was. You start listening to people. You start taking your notes. You start documenting. And then you go to, go to the Black Archives, the Bruce Watkins Center, and you start digging into those archives, into those records. And then you sort of find out what's there. And then you go on, you know, just in general conversations, you start talking about Prospect the way it used to be, and everybody's got a story.
Speaking of something that mixes both history, oral history, as well as research and documentation, there's been some talk about renaming Prospect Avenue, Martin Luther King Boulevard or Drive or Avenue. The irony, of course, is that in most American cities, King Boulevard in L.A., for instance, King Boulevard in Baltimore, King Drive in Chicago, they're all associated with some degree with blight or crime. Or is that actually a good idea to change Prospect Avenue to MLK?
No, because we're not proud of it yet. At this time in the history of Kansas City and the history of African Americans, we're not proud of Prospect. Now, I would say if it had been in 65, 60, or, you know, the early 60s, it would be proud to name it Prospect or name it Martin Luther King, because he's such a man and history did so much. And we could celebrate what we had accomplished on Prospect. Right now, I mean, you know, some people are afraid, you know, to go and get gas there. So you don't want a great person's name associated with an area where people are afraid to go. So I would say no. Is there a time when maybe we want to name a Prospect? I mean, name it after Martin Luther King? Maybe, but I think it's going to be a long time.
Do you advocate, even after redevelopment, retaining the name after, quote-unquote, pride, or the concept of pride can be restored? Maybe not renaming it at all? Keeping Prospect?
I'm just not sure on that. It's Prospect. It has been Prospect. Unless we can come up with some outstanding era, feature, monument, something that we're going to be very proud of, my answer is no.
What would be, in your mind, if you had unlimited budget, if you had your druthers, if you had the power and the say-so, in Joe Louise Maddox's mind, what is that game-changing monument or redevelopment initiative?
If I had the money and all the resources, again, I think it would be a very good shopping center location. I mean, you got good bus service, you got the library, you're going to have the police station, there's good housing stock there, and I think once you sort of rid the area of crime and some of the detractive things that sort of go with it right now, it would be a good investment.
So you get rid of crime first? Is that the first priority? And then bring in business and redevelopment? Or do you redevelop first and get rid of the crime in tandem with that effort?
Well, you know, one of the things that I think you'd have to do is get rid of crime. And even though we say that there's crime on the plaza, et cetera, et cetera. You don't read about it in paper, and you see enough security officers around there to make you feel safe. And unless you feel safe, you are not going to go into an area and patronize it with your money. So I would say that if you, now some people might criticize me, but if you had a policeman on every corner, and, you know, a cop car sitting in every parking lot, I think people would come back. I mean, we're talking about times that I cannot, you know. I mean, you know, I'm from the era when people left the doors open and, you know, cars, windows down and all that kind of stuff. This is not the case now.
What would you say overall is the goal of your work?
For me, it's for us to remember, for especially African Americans to communion, to remember. For my white friends, I mean, who say, you know, I wouldn't go near there. I want to tell them at one time, you know, this was a place where everybody went, and we were very proud of it. And what can we do? What can you help me do? And others to bring it back. So it's just not to write about it, but it's for people my age to remember the good times, and also to challenge when you find out, young people find out, you know, they can say, well, maybe I can redevelop that area. I got money. And that's one of the things that I'm hoping that maybe young people with money, black and white, can start investing in the community.
Our guest is local writer and historian Joe Louise Maddox, whose recent talk at the Bluford branch of the Kansas City Public Library was titled When Prospect Avenue Was Main Street. We've been talking about the evolution and ultimate deterioration of Prospect Avenue, as well as efforts to redevelop Prospect Avenue in the old mold and in some new ways as well. Mr. Maddox, thank you for joining us on Central Standard today.
And thank you.
You can tune in tomorrow for Nature in the City and hear how area critters are adapting to this intense heat. Today's show was produced by Tamika Weatherspoon with help from regular producer Andrea Salinda. Up to Date is next with a look at the woman who took on Goodyear in a landmark discrimination suit. I'm Jabalani LaFall. This is Central Standard. Enjoy your day.